So let's stand for the reading of God's word. Now, I've heard this quoted. We memorized it as children. We recited it in high school in our college prep class, and not in English. We had to recite it in the language we were studying, in language arts. And we had to get to stand by the side of our desk, and imagine this in a public school, and recite the Lord's Prayer. Il Padre Nostro is how it began. And we were graded on whether we could recite the Lord's Prayer properly. And yet some believers today have little or no knowledge of what this means or how to even memorize it or prepare. I heard one of the premier singers do this to a melody, and I've heard this song many, many times, but man, when he sang it, that was an anointed moment. It just rocked the whole house. Jesus said to them, his disciples, when you pray, because they ask him, Lord, teach us. We want to know how to pray. Jesus knew how to pray. And he did not neglect it. He prayed faithfully, regularly, frequently. And he went to the Father. I must know the will of the Father. I must practice the will of the Father. And so his disciples keep watching him, observing this, noting the connection between his prayer time and the power with which he did ministry. And they go, teach us how to do this. We don't know how to pray. When you pray, say, Our Father, Abba, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll stop right there. Father, we speak to our nation tonight in the traumas and the difficulties that we face, the challenges yet to unfold, perhaps in the next 48 hours that we're looking at, that we have no knowledge of how the end will be or what that's going to look like. And we declare kingdom principles restored. And we declare a great awakening and a love for God like we haven't in many, many years, and a love for one another, and for our governmental representatives, a turning to you in full and complete reliance upon your name. Thank you for spiritual revelation in this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tell your neighbor it's good for us to be here. Amen. Yes, it is. It's good for us to be here. There is kingdom we need to know. There's so many things we don't know. For too long, we haven't. And in Romans 8 and 19, it says, the creation waits with eager longing for the revelation of the sons of God, the groaning, the things that we're seeing, the upheavals on this planet. This planet under a curse is saying, I want this off. It's wanting this to end. And we, the sons of God, the children of God, sons and daughters of God, we are to transition from children to mature sons and daughters. That's what part of this means, where creation is waiting with eager anticipation for the revelation of the sons of God. It is awaiting, even creation is awaiting, the full maturing from childhood into mature sons and daughters, which means we become faithful stewards of our Father and the trust He's given us. Amen. There's a kingdom we need to know, and too long we have not. We have neglected it. And there's some points I didn't get to speak to last time. I intend to cover them tonight. I want you to know I am fueled by a world I haven't seen. I haven't visited. Yeah, we are talking about kingdom and a king. And his name is Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Are you with me tonight? Yes. And to synchronize with the kingdom of heaven. And when we hear the word preached, there are some adjustments being made in our lives. That's what the impact of the word of God being preached is to do. Make adjustments in attitudes and thinking patterns in the way we go about life. We might not be conscious of it, but we need to be, and we need to certainly feel the impact of his presence when we are in a worship time where we have the three most important elements that make a church service: worship, word, and prayer. Amen? When we pray, we have to learn to avoid distractions. Otherwise, we lose focus on his kingdom principles. God has already provided our answers. God already knows what our needs are. Your answer already exists. Worship is getting heaven here. Prayer is also significant in getting heaven here. Jesus said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We need the peace of heaven here on earth, do we not? Because there are threats all around us every day. We live in a very unsafe world. We live on a battlefield, spiritually and even sometimes physically. And we need heaven here. And when God is attempting to speak to us, the enemy will always send something to distract us. A text, an email, the ringing of a phone. Just when God is trying to bring his kingdom to our earthly situation, distractions always seem to appear. And those are not coincidental. Hell is afraid you will get a word from God. Frightened that you're going to get a word from heaven. One word from God can change your entire life. And faith says heaven has a plan that earth has to prepare to welcome. You have faith. There is something that your faith can acquire, but we of earth have to prepare to welcome it. We're the ones who have to make the adjustments. Sometimes we, earth, we have a problem welcoming something big because we've never learned to stretch our faith. Faith will bring answers in small things, but also in big things. And your faith, Calvary Christian Center, needs to bring some big things from heaven to earth. God has already released his word. And once it's released, it is set in motion. And the worlds were framed by the word of God. Think about that for a moment. This earth, all the planets in our solar system, all of those that are uncountable throughout the galaxies and the universe, every one of them were framed by the word of God. In other words, God designed them, put limits, sizes, everything on each one of them. This is why they killed the prophets, because they were releasing God's word, and many wanted to live contrary to God's word, and they knew that judgment was coming, and they didn't want to hear those voices. So don't you ever be afraid. Speak the word. Amen? Speak the word. The pressures of hell should press us to find a heavenly answer. If you want to know how much hell has targeted my life, check out the answers that God has given to me. If hell doesn't stop you, then hell will make you. Will help mold you. Will help construct you in the right direction. Because it will force you into the arms of God. So let's not get depressed when hell arrives. Decide with kingdom perspective that we can find the answers in his word and from heaven. And there is an answer every time pressure arrives. So if I'm under pressure, I know I can find an answer. Don't run from pressure. Challenge it. Like David did when Goliath moved to attack, it says, David quickly ran out to meet him. Don't run from pressure. Challenge it. Because it's out of pressure comes the next book. It's out of pressure comes the next invention. It's out of pressure comes divine revelation. When a woman gets ready to give birth, there's pressure of labor pain. You need some pressure to push. And all the pressure you've endured for months, God is pushing you into a place where he wants you. And there's something in you that is heavenly. It's designed for kingdom. Not every day is good, but we learn to make the day work for us. We learn to make the day profitable for him and his kingdom. There will be a fight. There'll be a battle anytime you're trying to birth kingdom into this earthly realm. There will be an assault. The good news is you will win. You will win. Synchronization, heaven and earth on the same page. Through the years, we've witnessed people clashing in the body of Christ. We do not need to clash with the kingdom of heaven. We need to work with heaven. We need to work with the kingdom of God. And in this season, God's beginning to do something he's not done in years. God is making up for the losses. He is making up for the pain. He said, I will restore the years. The supernatural manifestation will result in seeing what you said before you hardly get the words out of your mouth. But you can't be proactive unless you're anticipating something good. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. It cannot cancel out what God's doing right now. And some haven't had a great day, but your hands went up worshiping. That says you know how to worship through turbulence. You see, some people get white-knuckled when there's turbulence, and they grab on for dear life. You need to let go and lift your hands and worship in turbulence, because not everybody worshiping has had a great week. Some worship because they simply know it's time to worship. And when you know it's time to worship, you're not thinking about what happened. It's, I'm going to worship because it is time to worship. And if God's going to do something major for me, I will not allow past dilemmas to stop me from enjoying God's presence. What happened yesterday will not cancel out what God wants to do right now. The question is, will you? Because we can cancel out what God wants to do right now. God is working with you. Some people think, well, God, do something, and then I'll run over and I'll become a part of it. No, God's going to do something right here, right in our midst. Everybody will see it. Everybody will know it. Your smiling face will be right there in the middle of it as you rejoice. You're in the right place at the right time. Say, there is no better place to be.
There is no better place to be.
And the enemy will come along when he sees opportunity and work against you in an attempt to relocate you while you're in the timing of the Lord. But the enemy cannot relocate you. And I know the birds he'll send flying over your head to say all kinds of things into your spirit. This is not the time. Listen to me. This is not the time to be moving all over the map. This is the time to settle yourselves. This is an unstable environment we live in our culture. This is the time where the people of the Lord need to plant deep roots, be like trees planted in the house of the Lord that bear fruit. Of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200 and all their brethren were at their command. And they did that. They discerned it. They understood it without newscasts, without texting, without instant communication for bringing them direct information. There has to be someone who has access to the times, a discernment of what God is saying. Those boys stayed close, listen, to the one who could reveal the times. And because of it, they had a word from the Lord. And the enemy wants to get you off your timing. That's why he wants you reliant only on your emotions and your disappointments and your past hurts. Rehearsing past hurts prevents you from being in time because you're over here somewhere. You think God didn't favor you. God did favor you, but your emotions are 6 or 7 years old. And if God can help us overcome emotions that have not matured and developed, and the feelings of, well, that marriage failed, or I had a financial setback, or there was a trial, or somebody offended me. Listen, if we can forget childhood setbacks, and I'm not talking about when you were chronologically a child only, but sometimes because we haven't grown and matured into sons and daughters of the Lord, if we can forget childhood setbacks, if we can step into this time out of yesterday, God will meet you at the right place in the right time. Stop talking about what was done to you and step into what God is doing for you. It's difficult to celebrate today when you're still depressed about yesterday. Make up your mind. It's time to step out of my suffering, step over into worship, and give thanks to God for all he's done for us. We might have been stuck in past, in a past hurt, but it's high time to awaken out of that sleep and step forward into his goodness. Can we tell time like the sons of Issachar? The things that I've been witnessing over the last few weeks are very indicative and strong impressions made by the Holy Spirit into my spirit. There's something happening that's changing direction in this culture. God is speaking about a new season in the Lord. One new season in the culture, and there's a new season in the church. You see, the prophets foretold the birth of Jesus, and Simeon had to stay alive long enough to see manifestation of the Messiah. And he knew that he was coming. He had a witness in his heart. And I've got a witness in my heart about some things. And Simeon knew Messiah is coming, and I'm not going to die until I see him. Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He goes on to say, Lord, as he gets to see him and to hold him, and he says, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Timing. You might have been waiting for many years. Stay alive. Don't let go until the promise God made to you is fulfilled. And this is not spooky. This is something that you will get to see with your own eyes. God wants you to see what he has promised to you. I gave you 3 points last time. Let me share those very quickly as God's dropped into my spirit 2 more that we need to look at. 3 points last time, 2 more before we leave. Number one, Father God resides in heaven. Amen? It means he is the source. When you pray, say, Our Father in where? In heaven. Father resides in heaven. Number two, One of Father God's names is what? Holy. His name is always sacred. Forever, his name is sacred. Hallowed, holy, sacred is your name. No one can change that fact. No one can ever diss him. No one can ever disparage his name. God's name will always be sacred and holy. So much so that when you hear it, it'll shake you to the core. Because his name is holy, pure. Number three, Father God wants his will done on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. That's where the church comes in. And if we can discover what his will and authority happens to be, then promotion arrives. The continuous elevation and maturing as children of God. And it begins with this. Don't let this shock you. It might surprise some. You know, well that means when I get baptized, begins when I get baptized with the Holy Spirit, get baptized in water. It begins when, you know, I take a membership class. No, it begins with, what do you need? Not, what do I need? What do you need? I learned at an early age, and I'm very grateful that I learned this because my parents had me in church as soon as they could get me there, and I never stopped going. I learned it early in ministry. I learned it from watching my leaders. I learned it from watching good examples be set. What did my spiritual leader need? Whether it was the teacher of my Sunday school class, a missionary who was coming through, an evangelist who had come to preach a series of meetings, our pastor. And I watched it as Dad and Mom set a great example by looking at those that were ministering and not concerned about their own needs. What is it they need? How can we fulfill their need? How can we fill their need? How can we take care of them? What is it they have to have? And made sure that they could do it and did it. I remember Gordon Lindsay, founder of Christ for the Nations, coming to preach in our church more than once. William Branham, when he was really in the middle of the greatest time of ministry in his entire life, coming to preach and minister, and miracles happened, and we watched them from the front row with our eyes as big as saucers, not believing what we were looking at as God was at work in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I remember at the end of services, when most people had left, my family was still around. And one night in particular, and one of those great missionary evangelists that preached a great message, and he had given everybody some information in print to all those who attended. It was packed wall to wall with people. And he was wrapping things up, and the ushers were counting the offering. And my dad was going, watching this missionary move across the auditorium, picking up those flyers that had been left behind. And my dad, I looked at my dad, and my dad started picking them up himself and collecting them. And I was just kind of looking at him. He knew what I was looking at him for, like, what's this about? He said, this guy, this man of God, understands the value of what he's put into the hands of people and the value of how that got printed and what it cost. And he's not going to just let that go to waste. He's going to help. He's going to pick him up. And we're here. We're going to help him too. What does he need? Sometimes it was a set of tires for a vehicle. Sometimes it was a new suit to preach in. Yeah. What do you need for a Sunday school teacher? A gift of appreciation for having taught us the truth of God's word. Serving is what I'm talking about. That's where maturity really begins. It begins with serving. Watching to see what the need is. Watch it and then serve. If you're looking for a promotion, you cannot be running around with those causing issues in the company you work for. Well, if you're looking for a promotion in the kingdom of God, it's for those who are the first willing to serve. Don't become a problem in the company when you know you are called up higher. If all you do is create problems, there's going to be any promotion, whether in the secular world or God knows, not in his kingdom. Every one of you are called up higher. So we learn how to study the need, not to pick at weaknesses, so we can meet the need. Ministry is meeting the need. Study to see what the need is. Look at the tools you have, then align yourself. The Holy Spirit is looking for a body so he can perform his will through you in our culture. And when the Holy Spirit sees your heart to serve and you're willing to do whatever he asks, get ready for elevation. The Holy Spirit wants to work through you to get God's will done here on earth. Synchronize. What God said about you will come to pass. God wants his will done in you and through you. No more low self-esteem, because God wants to use you. Not just pastors. He wants to use everyone in the body to be ignited. A fire lighter is here, namely the Holy Spirit. and others who come around you with passion in their hearts, the Holy Spirit and those who encourage you to keep on serving. No spiritual firefighters. We don't want any of those who come around dousing the fire in your heart. Let the will of God be ignited inwardly. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm just here. No, you're not just here. You are here to carry the will of God to our culture. That's what kingdom people do. Don't count yourself out. Count yourself in. Don't suggest someone else. Suggest yourself. Send me, Lord. I will go. That's exactly what happens when the Holy Spirit has been allowed to get to the deepest corner of your heart. When he cornered me that one Sunday night at an altar, that was my response. Now, I didn't know what I was getting into by any means. But I remember, I will go. Whatever it is you ask, I'm willing to do it. I sought for a man, Ezekiel said, that God was reminding him. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. I'm looking for somebody. Someone who will do what I'm asking them to do, to serve, to go out, to make a difference, to be difference makers. And the question is it you? And the answer is yes. Yes. If God was looking for someone then, he's looking for someone now who will stand in the gap, who will be difference makers. Serve. Number four, timing and God's will impact the Father's supply on earth. Timing and God's will impact the Father's supply on earth. How much is received is determined by our timing. Are we synchronized with God for him to do the big things that he desires? Or have we delayed him by not being in step with him? Have you ever had a crimped hose? You're unwinding the hose and you turn the water on, it's crimped. You're washing your car and the water pressure slows to a trickle because there's a crimp in that hose. What we have to do is so synchronize ourselves with his will and timing that a major flow is released because we are absolutely a clean, direct route from the source to the spigot. And there's something about to break in the body of Christ. And the last day's move will sweep through four generations. We're going to allow God. What's the will of God for our children? What are we going to do about our kids? Our kids don't want to serve the Lord. We're going to allow God to open up the lines, to unkink the hose, and flow through us and synchronize alignment with his will. He supplies the fire. We supply the sacrifice. Amen? That reminds me of the altar. How we need to rebuild the altars in our homes and in our churches. The altar is a place of receiving. It's a place where the sacrifice is received. Then the fire comes. Fire does not fall on an altar because it's built, but because a sacrifice is placed on it. Amen? So when we sing, "Pass me not, O Savior," listen to me, our children fall under the power because the presence of God flows through us unimpeded because we brought ourselves to become living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And in his presence, everything is aligned. And he's waiting for us to align ourselves with him so he can reveal himself through us. That's what the kingdom is about, revealing himself through us. And we say, it's about to. I think it's about to happen. He says, it's already done. Because timing impacts the supply of the Father on earth. Sometimes we think God's not ready. He's ready. We need to synchronize. We think, well, maybe it's for another day. No, this is for today. But the church has not been synchronized. So, you know, we start thinking in options, and then, well, maybe God just wants to wait. Listen, the church is being persecuted in our world. It's dying because of wars and terrorism. God wants to act. God wants to manifest his glory. When does God want us to go and share? Now. When does God want us to believe? Now. Listen to me. Yes, we want to be in sync with God's timing. When does God want us to believe him and trust him? Now, amen. When does he want us to stand? Now in our day. We have to be in sync, but we must discern the times. And those watching world events have come into a unity. The time for God's last day move is now. And in our minds, we delay, because of our thinking, we delay the supply of God to earth. We become the impediment. The longer we delay in responding to the times, things around us continue to grow worse. The time for the church to stand and be heard is now. The church carries the anointing of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick for healing. Many should go and be doing that, but they sit and wait for a pastor to go do that. And consequently, people don't act. Yes, his presence flows through my life, but his presence flows through your life, and we need to uncap that tonight. A deacon in the church goes down to Samaria in spite of racial prejudice. And watch this. Philip, the deacon, went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, this is not the apostles. This is one of the deacons. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Because they didn't wait for an apostle to show up. They went and they did what ministry says to do. Hearts were ready to receive. Philip obeyed, and the timing was right, and synchronization happened, and the kingdom of God was manifested in the city of Samaria. There is an anointing on the body of Christ to impact. For Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, not in the corner, but openly, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. And he who believes, who adheres to and trusts in and relies on the gospel in him whom it sets forth and is baptized will be saved from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not adhere to and trust in, rely on the gospel and in him who it sets forth will be condemned. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up serpents. And even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. That truth is for all of us. When persecution struck the early church with pressure to stop preaching Jesus and stop preaching that message, listen, at that time, great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all, the church was scattered throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered did what? They went everywhere doing what? Hiding. I can't do that. That's for the pastor. No, they went everywhere preaching the word. Know what to do with cultural pressure. When cultural pressure strikes, we don't downgrade, we upgrade. When pressure is applied, get ready for new levels of ministry flowing out of you. Satan never learns. When he afflicts the church, we grow stronger. The pressure of illness in a family sometimes motivates a member of that family to go on to medical school, to learn how to become a physician so they can remedy health problems because they've watched it in their own family. Pressure doesn't have to stop us. Pressure should push us into synchronization with God. Because every bad situation doesn't work against us. Ask Joseph. None of us have had a series of cataclysmic events go on in our lives like Joseph did. And if looking at that in the natural, you could say, oh, that was terrible. That situation was really working. No, all of those things all dovetailed together to bring Joseph to the place where God could flow through him and speak to an entire world because of him. It should release the compassion of Jesus when we face pressure from our hearts to get us to act, because the pressure applied to us only squeezes out what God has put in there. And when we pray for those seriously ill, we don't go around praying, if it be your will, Lord. We know he will raise them up or he's going to take them home. Either way, God's going to do his business in their life. It is his will to restore. Hell will push us to a place to believe for life. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a flag of victory against it. So let us synchronize with heaven, because we are the ones who get to carry the ability to alleviate spiritual suffering and even physical suffering in our world, because we carry the message of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God releases people who are bound by sin and habit, and the kingdom of God takes care of those who are hungry and thirsty and in need. For he said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was sick and you came and visited me. I was in prison and you made sure that you dropped in to check on my well-being. And they looked and said, when did that happen to you? He said, when you've done that to the least of these, you've done that for me. Number five. When the timing is right and we are synchronized with heaven, supernatural supply manifests. Amen. It's not about focus on our needs. It's focus on the supernatural supply of heaven. Needs are taken care of when we are in sync. Miracles should happen daily in the church. So we read the book of Acts daily. When synchronized, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. God has a plan for you to break the cycle of indebtedness. And if we learn how to put God first in the practicals of finance, God will release great blessing to you. If we step in time with the kingdom of God, the devil will get angry. Thank God. But the Lord will be glorified. Not just healings, not just provision. God desires to position you to lead our community to blessing and prosperity. And God knows we need that in our community. What is it God is ready to release to you, but you have not been able to shift to receive? There are pressures every day in ministry. How did Donna and I navigate those? We're children of his kingdom. We're working for him. He's obligated to take care of us. And once you discover his will and you walk in it, Father is obligated to take care of his kids. And I learned to hold my peace and let God fight my battles. I don't have time to fight battles and build for you at the same time. Amen. So I need what all of us need, rest and peace supernaturally that comes from God. We can't be on the defensive and be able to be working with God to grow the body of Christ. We get stalemated when we're on the defensive. We get neutralized. We need to get out of the defensive mode and march onward onto his purposes for our church. And I release you tonight to be the church. Free you tonight from the word of God to be kingdom builders. No longer will you be distracted by the explosions the enemy sets off. And he times them one after another, throwing our focus off of Jesus' kingdom. I declare over Calvary Christian Center, walk in divine health. I declare over Calvary Christian Center, your emotional stability will not fail. I decree over you tonight That clear, crystal focus will be yours by his kingdom. Worry will no longer dominate your life. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we need heaven to manifest once again on earth. Create heaven in our homes, heaven in our church, heaven in our community, heaven in our school system, heaven in our government. We need your kingdom to come. And I can't explain to you. Come on, take a praise break right here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, that's the Holy Spirit. I cannot explain to you where that clarity comes from that I'm speaking of. But there is another place supplying this place. And it's our direct pipeline to his kingdom. And his Father is no respecter of persons. If he supplies me, he will supply you. Father supplies peace. Not when everything is perfect. He supplies peace in the middle of a storm. It surpasses all understanding. And you move by peace inside, not by the chaos on the outside. The worse the situation becomes in the world, the more you possess the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has no shortage of supply for those who are in the will of God. So something is happening as I get ready to close here tonight. You're going to awaken tomorrow with fresh energy, fresh insight. Something you've been cloudy about is going to be clear. You're going to awaken with fresh vision in the morning. When you awaken in the morning, what had you today will not have you tomorrow. You've been waiting for test results. God will alter your health, and you're going to receive a good report. The kingdom of God will bring supply to every situation you invite his presence. And when you've been dimmed in your outlook, you must go to another place in God and capture fresh vision. And the moment you saw back then will become now for you and fresh again. Amen? Because the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is within you. You have the ability to win from the inside. Calvary Christian Center, celebrate God's kingdom tonight. Would you stand with me and celebrate the kingdom of God? Come on. Celebrate the kingdom of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank him in advance. Thank him in advance. Praise him in advance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We believe in a bad moment that a good moment is about to arrive. We give thanks in advance. We share the testimony before you, Master, because we passed the test. What was the test? We didn't quit. We're here because God didn't give us the right to quit. The devil wants you to quit, but it's too late. God's kingdom has beat him to it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, even when you've had bad moments, and it seems like the dream God gave you is clouded, kind of floated off somewhere where you can hardly see it any longer, and everything seems to have just flushed away on you, I want you to come forward right now in faith, and I want you to stand here and thank him in advance, and I want you to praise him and say, I'm recipient of all that you promised me, and I'm going to have it in Jesus' name. Listen, those of you that thought it was over, you thought it was done, you thought, no, there's no way it's ever going to happen because these circumstances have all turned wrong. Joseph had every right to think that. Joseph had every right to think it's done, it's finished. There's no way I'll ever get to the place that I dreamed of when I was a child. He had every right to think, but he never thought that. But if you've ever thought that, and the enemy has used that against you, listen to me. Even when one thing ends, a brand new thing begins. Some things have to end in order for new things to begin. Amen? So if you've been tempted to think, It's over. I'm never going to have it. But tonight, the Holy Spirit has sparked some faith back into you. And you believe God's going to keep his promise. You need to get down here. Lift your hands before him and thank him in advance. And say, Lord, I'm claiming everything you promised me. I will not be denied. I will not be denied. Amen. Will not be denied. And those of you that are coming forward tonight to pray, I don't see quit in you. You may be thinking about it, but you won't quit. God says, don't lay it down. Pick it up. And remember this, opposition is not an announcement that it's over. Some people think, well, I'm being opposed and everything's stopping and everything's turning the wrong way, and that must mean it's over. Opposition is not an announcement that it's over. Opposition is an announcement that you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Don't get comfortable in a downward moment when things have gone south. Look up. Heaven has favor for you tonight. You get your hands up if you're down here. God is bringing promotion. Destiny is stronger than defeat. Anything opposite of the word that is not in compliance with the word, trash it tonight. Toss it. If it's not in alignment with God's word, pitch it. You want nothing to do with it. You only want what's aligned in God's word. And those of you that are in ministry here at Calvary Christian Center, you have a fellowship card that tells you that your organization says you're a minister of the gospel. I want you to get down here and start praying for these folk. Put your hands on their shoulders as you stand behind them and believe the Lord for miracles in their lives, for a rejuvenation, a rekindling, an absolute manifestation of the presence of the Lord, and pray aloud and pray in the Spirit over them and pray with faith and pray believing that God is going to do something incredible in the hearts and lives of people who are hungry for him. Amen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. They cast down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, even the good things I think about, still have to be run through the filter. Is this what God's word says? As long as it is, it's good. But the minute it does not align itself, it's got to be pitched, good or not, because it's got to be God's word.